All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. We're going to spend just a little bit of time in the Word together this afternoon. And then we're going to do what we ought to always do and practice what we hear preached, right? I know, I need to practice what I preach, but we all need to practice what God's Word proclaims to us. Acts, chapter 1, Find verse 4, if you would, please, where we're going to find our text this afternoon. Let's stand together. If you're able, we're going to pray one more time. We'll read. I'm going to preach a very brief message this afternoon. And all the people said,
amen.
Let's pray and get to the Word. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for the time we've had together already, the fellowship with the brothers and sisters, the saints. And I just pray that you'll bless our time now. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our heart, and that you give us a burden for the lost. I pray that you give us a great desire to see those who don't know you come to faith in Christ to be saved. Please just give us boldness, courage, strengthen our hearts, Lord. Give us power from on high. We are nothing without you, and Lord, we're so afraid so many times. Pray you just give us courage and open doors today, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stay standing. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Please be seated. You know that after Jesus died, he was buried. You know that he was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. You know on that third day, he rose again. For 40 days, he appeared to his disciples, up to over 500 brethren at one time, many others at many times, and 40 days later, he ascended up into heaven with a promise, and he said, I want you to wait for the promise. By the way, it ought to hit home to you today that it's not for us to know the times or the seasons, right? We don't know. We know Christ is going to fulfill all things. We don't know the day or the hour, but what we do know is that he said, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you a proclamation. And I'm going to be with you to do this work in a place. And so look at this. He says, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons, which God's put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. This is dunamis. This is dynamic power. And we know that the Spirit of God energizes us and empowers us to do the work that he's called us to do. And that work is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That was the mandate he put on his disciples back then. It's the mandate that we have today. Is it the pastor's responsibility to preach the Word of God? The answer to that question is yes. Is the pastor's responsibility to preach the Word of God? Is it the pastor's responsibility alone to preach the Word of God? Yeah, you can all go like this, shake your head no. No. If you're a believer, if you have faith in Christ, could you just go like this? Amen. Put your hand up. I trust Jesus. Jesus is my Savior, okay? Keep your hand up. Now go like this. It's my responsibility, isn't it? It's my responsibility. And Jesus has given you power through the Holy Spirit. You say, I'm scared. Me too. You say, I'm a little bit worried. Me too. You say, I don't really know what to say. Me neither. But God has given us the Spirit of God. You need to understand this awesome truth. The Spirit of God is in you. And he's going to bring to remembrance things to help you. He's going to guide you and teach you. He's going to give you power. You have the Spirit of God working in you. But not only that, friends, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, into the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so not only is he in you, but he's also working in the people you're talking to. And so you have the Spirit of God, you have the power of God with you. So today, when we go out, we're going to go door to door. And we're going to focus really heavily today on canvassing, or you might call it blitzing. We're going to put door hangers out on a lot of doors. But listen, it may be that God opens a door. Somebody comes to the door. Somebody's in the yard, and you have an opportunity to talk to somebody one-on-one. And you're going to get afraid, and butterflies are going to be coming out of your stomach, and you get really nervous. But the Spirit of God is with you. And he's going to give you power to preach the gospel, because not only does he give us power, he gives us a proclamation. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. What's our message? Well, listen, our message isn't us. Our message isn't even this church. Our message is Christ. Our message is Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who came to be the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, the one who died for you and rose again, the one who died for them and rose again. Our message is Jesus Christ, the only one who could save. So we have a proclamation. What's our message? Well, our message is that we're all sinners. Amen. And because of our sin, we have to face the reality of death, separation from God. But God loved us so much that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And the message is this, that Jesus came to die for sinners, among whom I am chief, and he died for the people out there. And if they will turn away from their sin and unbelief, and they'll trust in the finished work of Jesus, he will save them and give them eternal life. Amen. The message is, we're all dead because of our sin. Jesus died in our place and rose again. And if you trust in him, he gives eternal life. Hi, listen, there's a lot of different ways that we can give the message. You can use John 3:16. You can use the Roman road. You can just take one of our gospel tracts and you can hand that to somebody and you can walk through the message with them in the gospel tract. There's a lot of different methods, but the message never changes. Amen. It's that we're dead in our sins. Christ died in our place, and we can have life everlasting through faith in him. That's it. That's it. It's the gospel that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's what we want to preach. And we can't save anybody. It's not our responsibility to save anybody. It's our responsibility to introduce them to the one who can. He gives us the power to do that. We have a proclamation to witness, to testify of Jesus, to testify of Jesus. And we have a place to do that. Look at this. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, I'm going to give you power of my spirit. I want you to be witnesses to me here, there, and everywhere. Right? Look at Acts chapter 8 real quick. Turn over there. In chapter 7, it's the stoning of Stephen. You guys are familiar with that. And there was a man there who was consenting unto his death. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And the persecution was great on the church at that time. Stephen was stoned to death. They carried him to his burial. Saul made havoc of the church and took men and women and threw them into prison. But look at verse 4, Acts 8 and verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went where? What's it say? Went everywhere preaching the word. Now, Christ had given them a command to go. And you can be critical of the church at Jerusalem if you want to and say they were disobedient. They didn't go till persecution came. At the end of the day, I don't know about all that. I do know this. You and I have the same mandate today to go and preach the gospel. So you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to go from this place and we're going to go everywhere around our community to take the gospel to every door that we possibly can. This is what we ought to do every day. Not just on a time we have organized as a church to say, hey, we're going to get together at this time, we're going to go out into our community at this time. But it ought to be that when you go to work, or when you go to the store, or when you go to the playground, or when you go wherever you go, we should be taking the gospel with us everywhere. We ought to be leaving gospel tracts everywhere we go. We ought to be trying to strike up conversations with people everywhere we go. We ought to be witnesses unto Jesus everywhere. That's our place. Where's your place? Well, your place is everywhere you go. Where's my place? Well, it's everywhere I go. Wherever God takes me, I ought to be taking the gospel with me. The reality is there are lost people all over. We're going to go to a lot of doors in our community. You say, well, this is the Bible Belt. Most of these people go to church. Most of these people are Christians. But I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of people in our community. You might say under the shadow of our steeple. Amen. Who do not know Christ. Amen. Who have never heard a clear gospel presentation. And God has called us. He's given us the power. He's given us the message to proclaim. And we have a place to go as a church and as individuals in the church. We have a place to go to take the gospel to this community. I pray for God to give me a greater burden for the lost. I mean, just be real honest this afternoon. How many of you want to see lost people saved? I mean, we do, right? I mean, Spurgeon got it right. If you have no wish to see others saved, you're not saved yourself. You can be sure of that. You understand what that's saying? That means that in your heart, if you have no desire to see other people saved, then you can't be a Christian. Because when you're born again, the Spirit lives in you, gives a new heart with new desires, and part of that desire is going to be see other people saved. I know you want to see other people saved. But we get so afraid to do the work of evangelism. And I do too. But I've been amazed at how God works. The hard part is going. But I've been amazed at how God takes over and gives courage to my heart every time if I just go. When you just get started and open your mouth, how God will take over and encourage your heart. And those butterflies, they just fly away. And it's replaced with the Spirit of God that overcomes and gives you strength, it gives you grace, and gives you even the words to say to help you be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. Stay right where you're at. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get organized to go out and take the gospel to our community. I'm thankful for you being here today. For those of you at home, pray for us as we go out, and when you can, you go out too. And we want to be faithful witnesses. There shouldn't be anybody in this community. There shouldn't be anybody in this community who doesn't know who Calvary Missionary Baptist Church is and that we have a desire to see the lost saved. They ought to know us, and they ought to know that we preach Christ. They ought to know that. Not because we say so, but because we actually do. So let's pray, and then we'll get organized to go out. Brother Nelson, we leave.